yourself. Yeah, country loved. Singing something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful life, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain. Far purple mountain majesties.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group, engaging, empowering, connecting, and transforming veterans by being the hub to veterans affairs, information, resources, and referrals. America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office number, 312-781-1977. As you know, I am the host, Cliff Kelly. The executive producer is Glenda Smith. The digital media producer is Manny Corazzari, and we are pleased to have them here. And we have some great panelists in our studio today. America's Heroes Group Veteran Affairs Social Service Roundtable. With us in the studio, we have a gentleman who has been with us many times, and we're always pleased to have him, Mark A. McGill, Director of the Jesse Brown VA. How are you, sir?
Hey, great, Cliff. It's great to be back.
Great to see you. And also, we are honored to have Dr. Eric Prosser with us, Navy veteran, a PTSD specialized person who can help us. He's been with Operation Iraqi Freedom and also Operation Enduring Freedom. How are you, Doc?
Great.
Good, good, good. And you look so normal. We're going to start off with a clip from CNN.
It is a tragedy of staggering proportions, hard to believe. An average of 20 veterans and service members take their lives every single day. Who would believe that's possible? There are more than 6,000 veteran suicides per year. The suicide rate among veterans is 1.5 times greater than that for non-veteran adults, and the suicide rate for post-9/11 soldiers has increased significantly over the last 10-year period. To every veteran, I want you to know that you have an entire nation of more than 300 million people behind you. You will never, ever be forgotten. We are with you all the way. I think you know that. Supporting veterans is a very, very important thing to me, and it's been very important from my campaign from day one and from before my campaign, but from day one. Supporting veterans in distress is a critical priority for our entire administration, everybody in the administration. Last year, I signed into law the largest funding bill for the VA in its history, which included $8.6 billion for veterans in mental health services. I also signed an executive order directing the Department of Defense, Veteran Affairs, and Homeland Security to ensure our veterans have seamless access to mental health care and suicide prevention resources. These efforts focus on veterans the first year after they separate from military service, when they are at the heightened risk area. The White House VA hotline has fielded more than 200,000 calls and successfully resolved 93% of the concerns our veterans brought to them. And they work very hard. It's been very, very effective. We secured $206 million for VA suicide prevention programming. Every VA medical center now offers same-day emergency mental health care.
Sarah's last wish.
And that is something that we are certainly happy to hear, with the chief of staff doing, the commander, saying something I can agree on. Mm-hmm. That's great. Let me mention this before we get a response from our guest, because we have a different number now. We're in the new studio. The number is 312-374-8130. So if you'd like to give us a call, we'd be happy to hear it. 312-374-8130. Director Mark McGill, what do you think?
Well, I tell you, I am glad to see this executive order. I want to say, though, we have been really aggressive on our efforts the last several years to combat and prevent veteran suicide. The same-day mental health access, we've offered that. We've had that for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last year, we have doubled the number of staff that we have that are suicide prevention awareness folks. We're very aggressively getting out the word about services that we have, whether it's, you know, again, appreciate being on your show, but we utilize social media, billboards, public events. I gave my suicide challenge, my 20 challenge before. Right. We'll do that some other time, I'm sure, but we get the word out, and I'm very proud of our services at Jesse Brown.
I'm proud of it, too. In fact, when I hear what the Commander-in-Chief is saying, I'm loving it. But I also know, because we've been talking with you and Jesse Brown for so long, you folks have been doing what he's talking about now. So did you call him?
And actually, that's for sure. One other thing, he did mention that veterans are 1.5 times more likely than non-veterans to take their lives.
Yeah.
For certain segments of the veteran population, that's even higher. So, for example, for our female veterans, I think that's double what in the general population.
Wow.
A very complicated subject. We have lots of programs that we use, and one of them is one that Dr. Proscher is over, identification and the treatment of post-traumatic stress. And that's a biggie. And VA, just as a system, has pioneered in that, the research, the treatment, and we're so far ahead.
That's
yes.
Great. Dr. Proscher?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a very messy situation, but as you were saying, Jesse Brown VA is part of the largest integrated healthcare system network in the world, and we've been working on suicide prevention and treatment in the PTSD and having specialized services for over a decade now. And, actually longer than that, but with specialized services.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we should point out that 20 veterans that commit suicide per day, well, 16 out of those 20 have never come to a VA services. So one of the things that this executive order might, even before the executive order was served, VA was working on trying to outreach and connect those veterans that wouldn't come to the VA ordinarily. And one segment of those high-risk population are those that did not receive honorable discharges from the military. So VA has expanded mental health services for this population.
What was usually the reason that they didn't get an honorable discharge? Was there anything in general or what?
Yeah, it's pretty difficult to get a dishonorable discharge or other than honorable discharge in the military. So it's usually a pattern of egregious misconduct.
Okay. That's what I was asking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, all that That's not to say that there aren't folks that went to war and had trauma and were affected in a way that they didn't make healthy decisions for themselves, and they got in trouble later on. And that was, of course, war and trauma can have a play in impacting one's ability to make
Doctor, when would someone who has been in the service and knows that there's something wrong?
Yeah, that's a good one. So yeah. The other thing there is in that statement, they said that they were going to try from day one to get veterans in. And, you know, I've worked my whole career with post-9/11 veterans that have participated in the operations in Iraq and Afghanistan and others, global war and terrorism.
True.
And I like to call them reluctant help seekers, you know. So, you know, part of the military culture has some of these traditional military cultural values related to self-reliance, independence, emotional control, stoicism, let's suck it up and drive on. So, you know, through my whole career, it's very rare that I see someone within the first, couple months after they get out of the military, unless they were already identified in the military, and then the transition was made.
Would somebody that's in the military who's on active duty, they would probably have a lesser propensity, wouldn't they, to show up because of what you mentioned, military culture?
They actually wouldn't be eligible to show up for VA services until they're discharged from DOD.
But I must say, but you've been in combat and so forth. The situation, how many people are able to, either of you, get help? I know we're talking about the VA now, but you both know what goes on. If someone is in combat and has a problem,
yes.
Is there? Can they get help?
Yes. On active duty, there's a.
Yeah, because you've done
I was
that.
I was a psychologist in the Medical Service Corps on active duty, and there's a range of services on active duty too. So when I was on active duty, I was stationed right up north at Great Lakes. I was their suicide prevention officer there, and. I got off active duty in 2005, but in 2003, that's when we first started to see the spike in these suicide problems among our active duty folks and our veterans. Mm-hmm. And even at that time, the admiral that was ahead of all the commands at the time had summoned me to. Because I would give suicide prevention trainings, and they wanted to know, hey, how can we stop this suicide attempts among our active duty folks? And I remember I was a little nervous at the presentation, but I developed this presentation and made the pitch that maybe suicide on active duty necessarily wasn't a mental health problem, but a problem of poor leadership, a problem of people not knowing what's going on in the people that are working on underneath them, right in their lives, that have this really intimated, very few places where you spend so much time and familiarity and, you know,
that's
you're
right.
living and you're so close to each other,
right.
you know, that you should know what's going on in people's lives and allow opportunities for people to get help. And
I'm having flashbacks when you say that.
Yeah. Well, needless to say, I wasn't invited ever back to.
Oh, I love that. It was a leader. I just think that's great. That's funny because I've mentioned that a number of times. You know.
But maybe that speaks to, you know, some of the challenges when people do leave active duty. They're away from their battle buddies, their resources, the connections they have,
sure.
and that's why we at Jesse Brown VA have been really hammering the outreach, getting out there and connecting, using peers, using our mental health services, using whole health and mind-body approaches that because there are many roads to the mountaintop, right? There's many ways to get there, and PTSD is a mental and anxiety and depression. These are very complicated conditions that affect people differently, and some people need support and social activities, other people need medication, other people need to place to vent and talk, so there's no kind of one door.
Right.
That's
a, right.
You know, there's
yeah.
many doors.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing doesn't fit all problems. And that's why you all do such a great job, Director Miguel, over at Jesse Brown, because it's just fantastic what you do relative to this, for the PTSD thing.
Very proud of the staff. One thing I would like to mention, this is a community issue as well. And I think that for your listeners, you know, even non-veterans, anyone that knows a veteran, and we all do, you know, whether friends, relative, neighbor, or be a complete stranger, if you believe that that person might need some help, reach out.
Yes.
That's the best thing we can do.
Yes.
Reach out. And we've given that Veterans Crisis Line number before. I know the
800. Yeah, give it now. That's great.
That's 800-273-8255. And that's for any veteran that's in crisis. And that's for any of us to call if we are concerned about a veteran. The folks that man that hotline, they'll answer that phone within three rings most of the time.
That is great.
And they'll get help to that veteran.
You know, something that I want to repeat that, 1-800-273-8255.
Correct.
And if you're a veteran, hit one, and you'll be connected to a VA staff. But if you're not a veteran, you can hold on, and you can talk to someone as well.
That's
24
good.
Hours, 7 days a week, you can talk to a live person, and they'll connect you to the closest VA to where you live.
Something I heard for the first time, it doesn't mean it was the first time, but at 4th of July, I'm an animal nut. I love animals, and I love it when they say if you're going to use fireworks, think of the animal.
Yes.
But this time, I heard them say, and the veterans.
Yes.
I don't know whether that was the first time, but it's the first time I'd heard it. But I thought that was
great.
So meaningful.
I've seen signs that people put on the on their yards that say, you know, veteran lives here, be mindful, during 4th of July, this stuff.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I have a friend, and you all would know obviously better than I do, but he doesn't seem to object to, and we've talked about it, because I've sent him over to Jesse Brown. He gets problems when he hears helicopters.
Yeah.
It's not the explosions and so forth, and the fireworks, that sort of thing. Yeah. Helicopters, is that common, Doc?
Yeah, so PTSD is a mental health condition that some people get after they've been exposed or witnessed to life-threatening events such as car accidents, combat, sexual assaults, natural disasters. Mm-hmm. And there's essentially a re-experiencing that happens because our body, our minds are wired for survival, right? Mm-hmm. So we're very much aware of any potential cue, any potential threat, and that kind of revs up our nervous system. So we're hyper-vigilant, hyper-aware, we exaggerate our startle responses, and it changes your physiology too. So you're always in that flight or flight mode, and that can interrupt your sleep, that can cause irritability, that can cause difficulties with attention, concentration, and memory, and it feeds.
Is there any way of telling, doctor, before someone goes into combat, whether they would have a proclivity to be affected? Because like you say, some people can go through exactly the same thing, and one guy goes off and the other one doesn't.
Yeah. No, they are working. Believe me, they're working on that. They're trying to, I even saw that they were trying to get a blood test, but their sensitivity and specificity isn't enough there where you can make these kind of decisions about who should go in or not. It's a little bit sci-fi-ish. But
yeah, I guess it does.
Test your blood. Okay,
I
you're
wasn't
going to
ask
good.
That.
And that's the research that I was referring to, that VA is so far ahead and doing a lot of work on post-traumatic stress and some of the variables that are involved in that.
One of the research projects I'm working on at Jesse Brown with Dr. Fahn is we're looking at the trajectory of how PTSD affects you over a period of time, right? How does this affect your memory, your sleep, your relationships? One of the aspects that I'm working on particularly is how important that social support is, how your connection, your social network, and that is such a buffer. And and there are differences between people. First of all, those who get PTSD and those who don't get PTSD, the ones that have stronger, robust social networks don't get the PTSD. But even the differences between people with PTSD and the ones with social networks and the other, different. The severity is different. Their the avoidance behavior. So PTSD, so you have re-experiencing, you have, because it's uncomfortable to think and feel about the traumatic memory, there's a strong urge to avoid everything, to avoid cues, and your world becomes narrower and narrower. And then there's negative thoughts about yourself, others, and the world, sometimes related to guilt about what happened. And then the last part is that the physiological hyperarousal symptoms that come across. And the ones with social support, again, even if they have PTSD, fare much better.
That number, again, that's important. Director McGill, could you give that again?
Yes, and that's the National Veterans Crisis Line. That's 1-800-273-8255. And then veterans would press 1.
Press 1.
There's also a text option on there, I believe, too.
Yes. Yeah, and so if you need to talk with somebody, the other thing was like what we talked about, our veterans being reluctant help seekers.
Yeah,
when we see them, it's in crisis, and then they disappear. You can know that the VA, you can walk in at any point. And the first floor in Damon, our psychiatric assessment clinic, we can get you do an intake, talk with someone, and they set you up with a follow-up appointment the same day. I'm at work in the transition and care management clinic that works solely with post 9/11 veterans. And we, same thing, we have someone that you walk in and be assessed and walk out that day with medications and a follow-up treatment appointment.
You gentlemen are just fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in. We had a call, a cell. We have to take a break, and we have some other guests. But if you want to hold on, please do so, because I'm sure there's something you would want to talk about. So you can hang on if that's okay with you. Thank you to you both for coming in. Sure be seeing you soon.
Thanks, Cliff.
All right. Always a pleasure. Stay with
America, sweet. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Here is an important reminder from your friends at WVON. Daylight savings time starts this Saturday. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour before you go to bed. Saturday is also a great day to change the battery in your smoke detector.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learned to fix things yourself, so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are Making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. It's March 9th. We're WVON, obviously, and this is America's Heroes Group continuing. We had a great first half an hour, and we're going to have some more great information for you in the second half. With us in our studio, we have Hugh S. Turner, who is the Executive Director of VA Benefits in the Chicago Regional Office. Good to see you again, sir.
Hey, good to see you again, great, Cliff.
Great.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Every day's a great day.
There you go. That's right. We know that. You have another guest here.
Yes, we sure do. Mm-hmm. We brought with us today Ms. Deborah Montgomery, who heads up our appeals team at the VA Regional Office here in Chicago.
That's great. And this is a big change, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. What we're going to talk about today is a significant change for
That's
us.
Great. Before we do that, I just want to mention we have another number in our new studio, 312-374-8130, 312-374-8130. And we had a caller who was holding, and I just want to take him if we can. Sel, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sel, thanks for calling. Sorry I didn't get
Thank you. First of all, I didn't know that Mr. Turner was going to be on today. But since he is, I need to share this with you. You're looking at 60 years between him and his father of service to this country. Over 60 years combined.
Thanks for reminding
me.
And
the last time I was there, I asked him to please put his father's picture on his wall and his picture. And I hope that you've done that, Brother Turner. But I really was calling in to talk with Mr. McGill and the doctor regarding PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
I proposed to the head of the psychiatry department, Dr. Yant, who retired last month before last, that I would say would start a PTS therapy group that was more progressive than the one that I have been attending for the past 5 years or so. My reason is that it's stressful to me to go in every month hearing guys talk in square circles about nothing.
You know, Sal, let me cut you off because obviously I'm sorry we didn't get to you before they left and we're changing a little bit. But, you know, we contact each other, right? So,
sure.
So let's talk and we can arrange something, okay?
Real good.
All right, and thank you so much for calling. And
yes, sir.
We'll work that out because what you said makes a lot of sense. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Turner, what Sal just said about your dad and yourself, 60 years between the two of you?
Yeah, actually, I'd like to tell folks that I spent 48 years in the Army. My father was a retired command sergeant major and spent 32 years on active duty himself, came at the end of World War II.
He was in the Army?
He was in the Army.
Both Army.
And both in the Army. Both. And, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam.
Wow.
And my recollection certainly is amazing. I had an opportunity as a dependent to travel the world and get exposed to different cultures. The other thing most significantly about him, and I don't want to spend much time on this, he came in when it was a segregated army. His first five years were in all-black units.
Wow. You know? Okay.
And then to witness
what was his
the
MOS?
Changes. Believe it or not, he was a chaplain's assistant.
Is that right?
He was a chaplain's assistant and actually became the, when he was promoted to sergeant major, the very first sergeant major in that field in the Army.
That's interesting. Yep. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That what he was doing to a segregated Army.
Absolutely.
That's very interesting. Well, let's talk about this Appeals Modernization Act. This is something new that we need to know about.
Yes, sir. It's, the act itself was passed, I think, last August, and was signed into law. And it's more commonly referred to as the Appeals Modernization Act. And what it does is really what we're trying to do is the appeals process, make it simple, timely, and fair to veterans, offering veterans greater choice in how they resolve disagreements with VA decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that the new process, which is now being implemented now, it actually started a couple weeks ago.
February this year.
Yeah, is more efficient, timely, transparent, and fair for veterans seeking a faster resolution for their disagreement with a VA decision on a claim. And Ms. Montgomery is really our resident expert, and she has been diving into this with her team in great earnest over the last couple of weeks. So I think I need to shut up and allow her an opportunity to talk more expertly about this.
Ms. Montgomery, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
So as Mr. Turner said, there's this new Appeals Modernization Act out now, and it gives veterans a choice of one of three lanes. So I'll just go over the three different lanes for you. The first lane is the higher level review, and it's conducted
want to make sure people understand. This is if you have been denied?
Denied a decision after February the 19th.
I got you. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So if they elect to go the higher level review option, then those cases, a decision will be made by one of two locations, either in Seattle or St. Petersburg. So they'll have someone take a new or thorough look at the decision that was previously made to see if the decision could be overturned. And in that case, you cannot submit new additional evidence, you cannot ask for a hearing. The decision will just be made based on the evidence that we have of record already.
Before we go further, just so because a lot of listeners may not be aware of what type of cases are we talking about normally? I'm sure there are many that, you know.
Normally, claims for compensation benefits, disability compensation benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. All right, go right ahead.
Okay. So the other lane is the supplemental claim lane, and is conducted at the regional offices that we have across the country. And the veterans must submit new and relevant evidence in order to support their claims. And if they would like for someone to call them and discuss it, then that can happen also. And the VA will assist them in gathering the new evidence that they feel is needed in order for us to make another decision on their claim. So the last lane is the appeals lane, and veterans may opt to appeal a decision directly to the Board of Veterans Appeals in Washington, also referred to as the Board. So the Board offers three different options. You could get a direct review, where the veterans have no evidence to submit and do not want a hearing before a veterans law judge, or they could submit evidence and also not choose to have a hearing, or they could choose to have the hearing option where they could submit evidence and also request to have a hearing where they could testify before a veterans law judge. So those are the three new options that we came up with. And so what the first two options will do, the higher level and a supplemental claim, is provide them with decisions within 125 days. That's our goal.
So this is a very significant statutory change, isn't it?
Yes. I've never seen anything like this in all my years at the VA.
That's very interesting. So how did that come about? I'm sure it went through Congress, I presume.
It sure did, yeah. And this was in consultation and working with our stakeholder partners out there, mm-hmm. Some of the veteran service organizations like American Legion and mm-hmm. DAV mm-hmm. And others mm-hmm. Who helped pull this together, mm-hmm. along with collaboration between the Veterans Benefits Administration and the Board of Veterans Appeals, mm-hmm. Working on this and pulling this together.
And how long has this been worked on? Because this really is a change.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It goes back a couple of years. Yeah. As you know, I mean, the impetus for a lot of this was the huge backlog of appeals
gotcha.
Cases that we've had.
Gotcha.
I mean, close to 500,000, as I recall.
Ooh.
And then trying to get that down mm-hmm. To a much more manageable number and to get resolution quicker for the veteran.
Did these fit into a certain category? You know, sometimes in law you can find out that a lot of appeals of certain cases, it's a collective group. I'm just wondering whether there was something that's not the case.
No, I wouldn't say that
wouldn't
that is
that?
The case,
yeah.
No.
Just all different types of issues then?
Yes.
You know, yeah, okay. So we haven't... It hasn't been in effect long enough at this point, I presume, to see what's going on.
That's correct. It was
yeah.
just implemented
yeah.
on February the 19th.
Right, yeah.
And I also want to mention that any veterans that filed appeals prior to February the 19th, that they will be processed under the old way. So we are still working on those cases also.
Say that again now.
So we have a lot of appeals pending currently right now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That were received prior to
the new law.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they will be processed
under
the
old
system.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's understandable. But now anything since the February of this year, I guess, will be under the new system.
Yes.
Okay. That's great. If people need further information, how would they get it?
They could contact the VA at 1-800-827-1000, or they could visit their local VA office, or they could contact one of their VA service representatives.
Okay. Yeah, this could be very important. It'll take us a while yeah. to see exactly what the how things are going to work out, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, the benefits, right. Hopefully, I'm sure. Yeah. But the fact that this has even been brought about, I'm sure, will there was enough evidence there to see that it was needed.
Well, the thing, you know, we have to remember what we're all about, and that's service to the veterans.
Right.
And to be veteran-centric in our approach to things. So this is continuous improvement, and I'm sure we'll probably discover other things that we may not have anticipated, and we'll react accordingly to
mm-hmm.
Fix those things that may not have been thought about at the time. If I can make just one public service announcement, and
sure.
you've heard me say this before, mm-hmm. Many mm-hmm. of us have relatives and friends who are currently serving
right.
on active duty, and the mm-hmm. one thing that I tell my colleagues who are still on active duties is to ensure that in communication with those military personnel who have decided to get out, that they make sure that they have a complete copy of their personnel records and their medical records. Because in our business, what's absolutely important as we process claims is documentation. Mm-hmm. And if the documentation is not there, it makes it much more difficult for us to process the claims and for us to provide the right disability rating, if you will, mm-hmm. for the individual. And I say this because records, when they leave, belong to the government. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, through transition, they can be lost.
Yeah.
This is one way of avoiding mm-hmm. that, because you now have positive control, a copy right. of your records, mm-hmm. because that makes it much easier in processing claims, I think.
Makes a lot of sense. That's right. Our number is 312-374-8130. 312-374-8130. If you have a comment or a question, we'd be happy to take your call. This is really something. The Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act is one of the most significant statutory changes to affect VA and veterans in decades. And, you know, even our commander-in-chief was saying the other day some very things about the needs for veterans. So even he's doing that. So this has been worked on for a long time, Hugh, but is this because of the fact that there were a lot of problems relative to people not getting the service that they think they should have?
I think that's in part. Again, remember, the premise for this is a disagreement that the veteran
right,
had
that's what,
with,
yeah,
the,
sure.
With the original.
I was just saying, wondering why it hadn't happened, why this hadn't happened sooner. Or maybe because there were more, as you point out, disagreements.
Well, I think what happens is, as you try to look for solutions to problems that are presented, that this is one of those things in which multitude of ideas come forth. You know, sometimes things weren't thought about, and as a result, with the collective discussions and exchange of ideas, this is how you come up with things to resolve problems mm-hmm. that maybe we didn't think about mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. But I think what was absolutely critical here was the involvement of not only the Veterans Benefits Administration and the Board of Veterans Appeals, but the inclusion of the Veterans Service Organizations and members of Congress to pull all this together.
Yeah, that's great.
And also I would like to add,
please,
part of the reason why is because the appeals were taking so long for us to process. It was taking 3 years for us to provide the veterans with a decision. And if the case had to go to the board, it could take up to 6 years total.
Wow.
So this process, like I said, veterans should receive decisions within 125 days.
That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or if it has to go, if they select the appeals lane, then they anticipate a decision being made within 365 days.
Why, Deborah, did it take so long before? Was it just that they didn't have enough people? The money
resources
wasn't there?
Yes.
That was it?
Yes.
And it took all this time to
yes.
okay, to get the money. Yeah, thank goodness we spent money on a lot of other things.
Yes, they have really hired a lot of people to
That's good.
Accommodate this new act.
And people like you, Ms. Montgomery, who are so, you're going to take care of everybody, I can tell.
I'll try.
That's right.
Thank you.
Oh, that's great. What else do we need to know?
Cliff, one thing that's coming up,
mm-hmm.
you know, being a Vietnam veteran, is
mm-hmm.
the 50-year anniversary commemoration
right.
of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And that's occurring this month in
mm-hmm.
March.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see more, if you've not already seen, mention of the 50-year anniversary commemoration of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, Director McGill mentioned that he'll be doing. I spoke last year.
Yes.
At the anniversary.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, it was something because I saw people there that I never thought I'd ever see again.
Yeah.
you know, it, it's just a great thing to everybody.
Absolutely.
Just gets together.
Yeah. And, I think it's part of the healing process. You know, we've been in a continuous healing process over such a divisive war.
That's true.
And in actuality, I tell you, I kind of did some research. I said, well, the Vietnam War is actually, it's been going on for more than 50 years. The fall of Saigon
exactly
was in April, the last day in April 1975, which is when I reported to Fort Benning. Infantry school.
Follow me.
And I tell you, doing some research, it is based on 1969, in which then President Nixon said we would not be sending more combat troops to Vietnam at that point.
I thought it was so interesting that we had President Trump in Saigon.
Yeah, irony.
Yes. When that's happening? Yeah. Meeting with the North Korean president, and I think it about came out about the same way too, didn't it? Whatever. that was an interesting situation. Yeah, the 50th, and you know, there are so many people. For obvious reasons, they still have so many thoughts about that, whether it was the thing to do, the thing not to do. And I've heard some really funny stories. I had a friend that worked with me at a different station, and it was a morning show, and we used to eat breakfast afterwards. Well, it happened that the Taste of Chicago, the station was right across the street from Grant Park, and the Taste of Chicago had come, and he says, oh, we won't have to buy breakfast. We got all these tickets, you know. That, and I said, yeah, the station was giving away. I said, yeah, fine. And then he said, oh, it won't work. I said, why won't it work? Well, it's just too many. I'll never find what I want. I said, we got maps right here in the pre-paper. Oh, yeah, your office could read maps. I said, yeah, you should have been able to read maps. They caught you in Idaho, in Nevada rather, in Nevada, because he was avoiding the draft. And I said, if you could have read a map, Canada was a lot closer.
Oh, gosh.
We have a caller. Rebecca?
Hi.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for calling.
How you doing? I found out, Cliff, that the veterans can get up to 3 years back of their money, all the way up to 2014. For their taxes, the ones who have disabilities. Ah. When I went down to pay a veteran's taxes just recently, and they told me that they can now get a refund because they have been, a lot of them have been overcharged.
Now, which taxes are we talking about, Rebecca?
The homeowners, for people who own their homes.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah, now, so what, I want those veterans
saying,
to get in on that.
Who is saying that? That's wonderful. Who's saying that?
The actual assessor's office. When I went to pay
Cook County assessor?
Yeah, the county assessor.
County assessor.
So you need to have her back on your show again so she can tell you the whole details of everything. But they told me that he can get his taxes back to up until 2014. From this year, even though I paid this year, he's going to get a refund. So after I applied and had his doctor send in the statement that he had a disability, they're going to give him a refund all the way up until 2014. So all veterans... let's talk about it and make sure that we get our veterans their refunds back. Well, and he'll now not be paying taxes.
I think that's wonderful.
That's, okay, love you, Cliff.
I love you too, and thanks so much, Rebecca.
That's, all right, bye-bye.
That's great news. Yeah, we'll follow that up, as she said. That's exactly what we'll do. Because anybody, you know, we can save some money, that'll be great. Well, I want to say thank you for you folks coming in and giving us this great information. And we're going to go now to, of course, our executive producer, Glenda.
Thank you for listening to America's Heroes Group. Regarding any questions or concerns about affordable housing, social service, wellness questions, please feel free to call 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. Thank you for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you stay connected and will receive notifications regarding future shows, events, information, resources regarding veterans, armed forces, and their family members. We're so grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Reader. You can find articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members online at www.chicagocrusader.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusader's weekly column with the Governor of Talk Radio, Cliff Kelly, Voices, and America's Heroes Group, call Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com to request a subscription. As always, we appreciate the callers, the listeners, any questions or concerns. We are here to hear your voice because this platform is designed and created to speak truth to your power. Once again, feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. To our technical producer, Tiara, thank you. To our social digital media producer, Manny, thank you. And all our guests, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. God bless.